Today's reading is from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. The Shepherd and His Flock. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. Amen. Sometimes I get sidetracked into watching YouTube videos. They can be a bit of a distraction, but sometimes they're quite amusing. One that particularly sticks in my memory is of Nancy the Chihuahua, a rescue dog who became a sheepdog. If you've ever seen a Chihuahua, you'll know that they're absolutely tiny. Nancy lived on a farm where bigger rescue dogs like collies were trained to be sheepdogs. And the story goes that she got very excited one day when she saw them at work. The trainer decided to let Nancy have a go, and she proved to be a real natural. Despite her size, so small that one of the sheep could easily have taken a wrong step and squashed her, all the sheep followed her lead. Jesus often uses sheep to illustrate his stories when he's teaching. It's something that people could have related to. Most people either kept sheep, or at least they knew somebody who did. And they would have probably understood, as we learnt from Nancy, that sheep are very easily led. But in Jesus' day, there weren't any sheepdogs. Keeping sheep was a bit different, and knowing about the differences from today can help us understand his teachings a bit better. In a village, there were often walled sheep pens, and if people only had a few animals, they would share a pen with others. There was just one door for the sheep and shepherds, with a gatekeeper to guard it. Every day, the owners would take their own animals out into the fields to feed and return them at night for their own protection. And there is actually some evidence that sheep recognise people's voices. But sometimes a sheep rustler would come and steal an animal or two. They avoided the door and the doorkeeper, though. They would probably climb over the wall, and if the sheep didn't recognise the thief's voice, they may have genuinely been afraid and shied away. In verse 1, we learn that Jesus was speaking directly to a group of Pharisees. But in verse 6, we see that these Pharisees didn't really understand what he was talking about. As it says, Jesus was simply using a figure of speech. But perhaps the Pharisees simply didn't want to understand. As religious leaders of the Jewish people, they would surely know enough about their scriptures, which are our Old Testament, to have some idea of what Jesus was talking about. So what did Jesus mean? Well, there are many references to sheep and shepherds throughout the Old Testament, especially in the Psalms and the Prophets. The sheep are God's people. The shepherds are their leaders, either the priests or the kings. But these human shepherds were often not very good. They led people in the wrong direction, away from God, and they used God's people to meet their own ends for success, significance, or money. In Ezekiel 34, God speaks out against these false shepherds. He promises to remove them and judge them. Instead, God promises to appoint his servant David as a shepherd for his people. Of course, by this time, King David himself was long dead, so what God really meant was that he would appoint a descendant of David. And as we know, Jesus is the son of David, who fulfilled this role. And God tells the people that ultimately they are his very own sheep, the sheep of his pasture. Moving forward to Jesus' time, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, were still leading God's people astray. They wanted to be recognized and admired. They taught endless rules and regulations without teaching about God's values of justice and righteousness. And perhaps the Pharisees recognized themselves as the bad guys, the thieves and robbers of Jesus' story. This episode immediately follows the story in chapter 9, where Jesus healed a young blind man on the Sabbath. This young man was thrown out of the synagogue by the Pharisees when he said that he believed that Jesus was from God. Afterwards, Jesus found the young man who worshipped Jesus. At the same time, some Pharisees were there, and Jesus accused these Pharisees of being blind themselves, and it's the same group that he's talking to here. But when Jesus moves on to talk of the shepherd of the sheep who goes through the gate, he's surely speaking about himself, because later on in this chapter, Jesus tells us that he's the good shepherd. So here, Jesus, the good shepherd, leads his people out through the gate. He calls his people. They recognize his voice and follow him as he goes ahead of them. His followers run away from strangers whose voices they definitely don't recognize. But from verse 7 onwards, Jesus changes the way he talks about himself. He uses a different image. Instead of a shepherd, he calls himself a gate. One of the unique features of John's Gospel is what are called the I Am sayings of Jesus, where Jesus tells us aspects of who he is and why he came. So in verse 7 he says, I am the gate for the sheep. And there's another lesson from first century sheep farming that helps us to understand Jesus' teaching. In the summer months, the shepherd would take the sheep into the countryside away from the villages. At night, the sheep were kept in a walled pen, with the shepherd himself sleeping across its entrance to protect them, just like a gate. So when Jesus says that he is the gate, he's still the shepherd as well, because the shepherd is the gate to this rural sheep pen. Jesus tells us that his sheep, his true followers, don't listen to the thieves and robbers or the other harmful religious leaders. Instead, his followers enter through his gate, Jesus himself, and are saved. Later on in John, in chapter 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And that's really what he's saying here too. There's only one way to be saved, to be in right relationship with God the Father, and that is through knowing Jesus. Once safely in the pen, the sheep can go in and out, and so can we as Jesus' followers. We go in through Jesus to be saved, and once we're secure, we can go out, finding pasture and the food and restoration we need. As we've just sung in Psalm 23, he makes me lie down in green pastures, he restores my soul. And we also go out into the world to serve God and live for him in the world, knowing that we can return to the security of the sheep pen. Jesus promises his people life in all its fullness, unlike the thieves, those false religious leaders. Again, Jesus is speaking against those Pharisees who condemned the healing of the young blind man. These Pharisees would rather someone followed their rules and regulations and remained physically and spiritually blind instead of experiencing freedom, vision, and healing. But freedom, vision, and healing are exactly what Jesus wants for us, just as he did for the blind man. And this is just part of what Jesus means by life to the full. Jesus gives us the hope of heaven too, but he does also promise a fuller life in the here and now. So what are the messages for us in all this? Well, I think there may be two groups of people who are listening to this talk. The first group is people who've never trusted or known Jesus. And if that's you, Jesus is calling you and he wants you to follow him. He is the gate and he makes it possible for you to come into relationship with God. In our present and uncertain time, it's important to know what you believe and to have the security of a relationship with God and an everlasting hope. If you ask Jesus, he will forgive your sins and make this possible. And if you want to know more about this, just speak to anyone you know from the church, or call or email Phil, our vicar. The details are on the website. And at the moment, there are even free online courses like Christianity Explored or Alpha that can help you learn more about the Christian faith. But for many of us here, we already have a relationship with Jesus, and there are lessons for us too. The first lesson is that we need to learn to recognise Jesus' voice so that we can listen to him and follow him more closely and be guided by him. It's a bit of a cliche, but it is genuinely useful to spend time in God's word, the Bible, and in prayer. We live in a world of fake news and false ideas in the wider world and in the Christian context. So when we learn to recognise God's voice and God's truth, we'll be far more able to discern and reject what isn't true. A second is that since we're secure in Jesus, we can go out to be his agents in the world through our lives and in our words. Some people in our church are already going out into difficult and challenging work situations, and our prayers are with them. And although many of us can't physically go out so much at the moment, we can still make contact with people outside our church and offer concern and support and prayers. And as St. Peter tells us in his letter, we need to be ready to give an answer to anyone who asks us for the reason for our hope. Finally, God wants us to enjoy fullness of life. We all have hope in the life to come, but Jesus wants to bring greater wholeness to us now. And for many of us, including myself, it's been a lifelong journey. Asking God to bring healing and spending time with him, and perhaps asking for prayer and support from others, are all things God can use to bring greater fullness of life to us. So ask God to show you and help you to experience more of this fullness and wholeness. Jesus is the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep to make all this possible. Let's give thanks and praise to him. Amen.